Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, a podcast all about how faith impacts our guests' careers and lives. I'm Sean Bowles here with my co-host.
I'm Bob Haston, and we're here to bring you unfiltered, powerful conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and culture shapers who are living out their faith in extraordinary ways. From billion-dollar boardrooms to creative industries, we reveal how God is moving through everyday, ordinary people just like you, and this podcast will give you courage, which is our goal.
Yeah, these are the stories you don't get to hear on Sundays. Plus, we get to dive deep in the latest trends in business, finance, entertainment, and politics, giving you real insight from a kingdom and biblical perspective.
This is where faith meets influence. This is Exploring the Marketplace.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I am Bob Haston with my friend Sean Bowles. And Sean, I think we have an exciting episode today.
It's always exciting when we have a farmer on, and we have an anointed farmer, someone who's actually like hears from God and sees some things happen on our farm. We're going to hear some really good stories. But we also have a real talk about something that every entrepreneur, encourager, and Christian is going to face at some point, which is how do you trust God when you need financial provision, whether it's a loan, an investor, capital, or just straight up breakthrough. And so, you know, this is a time when we have the dream, the purpose, but we don't have a bank account that's saying today. So we have to talk about that too in a real talk. But man, Trina, the guest today is going to be so amazing for each and every one of you who are listening.
We're joined by Trina McAlexander Galloway, which means she got married since the last time we talked to her, to Kenny. And, you know, they're this incredible power farmer couple. She's a third generation farmer from Oregon. Her parents bought the farm from her grandparents, and she bought the farm from her parents. She's also a nurse practitioner in the VA system, and they've created something really beautiful on this farm. They've done all these upgrades. They've put a wedding venue in and a tasting venue, and she's just an entrepreneur at heart, and she's taken what her grandparents and parents have done and just expanded it, which is just, that's kingdom, isn't it? Taking legacy and expanding it.
So stick with us. This one's for everyone believing for God's provision for your calling. You're going to love it through her story. You're going to love it through our talk. Let's dive right in after a message from our sponsor. Our sponsor today is Birch Gold, and Birch Gold is going to help you find a little known loophole in the IRS to protect your retirement, your IRA, your 401k with precious metals. And this is an incredible company. They have amazing consumer reviews. You can look them up. They're one of the top, if not the top, in their industry. And they're sponsoring us and giving you a free information guide by going to birchgold.com/Sean Bowles. Bowles is spelled B-O-L-Z. And when you go there, you're going to talk to their experts, whether you get the guide or talk to somebody. They are so informative, and they're going to help you to go on the journey to stabilize your financial future. And we know that gold has been a standard for thousands of years, and it is today still. You don't want to miss out on your opportunity to do something for your financial future and your children's future. Go there today. So Bob, here we go. One of the most vulnerable places in being a Christian entrepreneur or professional is when you have the vision but not the funding yet, whether it's capital for the business or a loan to expand or even just monthly provision to keep going. It can feel like you're staying on the edge of a cliff waiting for the bridge to show up so you can actually walk across.
Yeah, it is a common tension. And, you know, Sean, it's interesting. You and I haven't even talked about this, but I've been in business, you know, over 45 years, and the banking industry has changed, and we're trying to get our line of credit renewed. And we have this big bank, and they kept putting us through hoops. Like, this is just in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And our balance sheet is strong, and I could not understand what was going on. And, you know, they came back with an offer that was much less than we'd asked for, that we'd had for the last 15 years. And it forced us to move to another bank. But I remember thinking, this is what used to happen when we really needed the money, when we didn't have the money.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of people are, is, hey, we need funding to expand our business, and the banks somehow know we need the money, so they're not going to give it to us. And I think the moral of the story is keep on trying. Talk to different banks. Keep on asking the Lord to go before you in these things, because gaining financing and finding a partner to help you in your business is really, really hard.
Oh, it's absolutely like one of those things that sometimes has to happen just sovereignly. Like we need God's intervention, and his intervention comes not always because of the way we pursue it. I mean, you can pursue a loan in a lot of different ways. You can pursue hard money loans. You can pursue finances, investments, lots of different ways, even employees, like just the provision of an employee. Mm-hmm. But when you trust God, I just know the outcome's so different. I know Sheree and I, we were looking at the amount of money we had to rent an office space in Los Angeles and the amount of money we had to rent a house in Los Angeles. We're like, man, we're paying more than if we just had a house that we bought mm-hmm. that could, you know, house somehow the offices too. So let's look into a property. And we had been a benefactor type person who loved our family personally, had given us some money for a down payment, but we still needed to finance a house. And we just weren't qualified because it's LA. It's LA prices. We just weren't qualified to buy a house. And I remember at one point, our real estate agent, who was just one of my prophetic leader, team leaders too, was like, Sean, you'll never guess what happened. I was on a boat with my brother, just having a little party. My brother's a real estate agent too. And another guy there who's in charge of a fund, but also is a real estate agent, said, oh, I have this random fund from this guy who's a Muslim in the Middle East. And he really loves when families get placed in LA and he knows how hard it is. So every year they give a loan to a new family. And it's not that hard to qualify as long as you have clean finances. And they just love to see families get in. Then usually you can refinance a loan at the end of the year. And they said that they're willing to finance your guys' house. And we're like, who is this guy? He's Muslim. He knows we're Christians, that we're going to launch a ministry out of this house, the whole thing. It was so weird. It was just like, we didn't have anywhere else to look. So we stopped looking. And then this came out. And I even called a friend who's a mortgage broker and who's so good at complicated mortgages. And he's like, right now there's just no mortgages. I can't help you. And I just think God's so beautiful how when he knows what's needed and he's already planned steps ahead, and it comes through the random contact on a boat with your real estate agent. It comes through the random contact at the water cooler. And I that's just how good God is.
And we think we need money. That's what we think we need. And one of the things that we have to realize from a kingdom perspective is we need God's timing. He has perfect timing. And so, you know, I don't know how many times I've been praying for something over and over and over again and thinking like, did he forget?
Yeah.
Or am I out of his will? And then like what you just said, out of left field comes some answer that there's no way you could have ever thought up, strategized, or anything. And I think he just wants to show us over and over and over again, he's God. And so if you're in that position, keep asking the Lord for his timing. Keep asking the Lord if for his will. Keep telling him that this is your dream, because I know one thing about God is if you care about something, he cares about the same thing for you.
And he cares about it more than you do. I mean, that's the thing as a father. I mean, but I love Philippians 4:19 because we don't always apply it to ourselves, especially people in business. It says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And so God's not limited to your bank account, your resources that you haven't seen yet, but he literally will provide those things that if you put a destiny in your life, there's a provision for it. And I think when you start to enter that mindset to go, okay, God, you've given me the belief that this will happen in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I'm going to believe you for all the things that will happen. And for me, you know, when I went to LA, one of the things we did was start a ministry, which was very entrepreneurial in LA to start a church. And a pastor gave us a word that said for a church that reaches the entertainment industry, because we had a lot of entertainers, you're going to need like a Hollywood budget. And I laughed. I just thought it was kind of cliche and cute. But it was funny, after 10 years of pastoring, when we did the assessment of how much money it took to build that church and how much money had been poured in and infused for all the different projects we had, and for all the, we did a lot with the poor, a lot of bases and nations. It was over like $27 million in 10 years had come in through the whole thing. It might not have been quite that much, but it was a lot. And the average movie, you know, Hollywood movie costs like $8 to $25 million. So it's like God had done it, but it was over a long period of time. Man, I wish I would have known at the front end that God was going to be that faithful, because in the beginning I was like, we have nothing. We moved here in a recession during a writer's strike. No one in our church even has a job. Like, it was so hard. And then over the period of time, as we did all these efforts, I mean, raised so much money for Children at Risk, raised so much money for anti-human trafficking, raised so much money for our people in our own church. It was beautiful. And so I just think, you know, God will supply when there's a vision.
Yeah, I always fall back to my lifelong scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your paths. And I appropriate that for specific things in my business and my finances.
Yeah.
Trust in the Lord instead of with all your heart, fill in the blank with your loan. Trust in the Lord with your loan. Acknowledge him with your finances. That scripture has been my life scripture, and it never fails, especially in this area, especially in the practical areas.
Well, I know we both learned that when you're building something with God, and we both done a lot of these projects, there's always moments or a moment where it doesn't look like it's going to happen at all. And that's not a sign to quit. It's a sign to press into prayer and community and spiritual discernment. I think that's the key. But if you're listening today and you're waiting for finances and wondering if you should quit or pivot or keep going, I just want to say God sees you and he's a provider and your dream's not too big for him. As a matter of fact, his dreams are exceedingly above and beyond what you could even imagine or hope for, according to Ephesians 3:20, which is really good. But our guest today is Trina McAlexander. And I love her because she's a living proof that God can breathe resources into the dream, even when the risk feels so huge. And so we're going to jump into her story. But Katrina McAlexander Galloway, a passionate farmer, nurse practitioner, and community leader based in Parkdale, Oregon, where you can go and visit their farm. She owns and operates her family's third-generation 51-acre farm at the north side of Mount Hood, where she cultivates everything from wine grapes and heirloom fruits to vegetables and flowers. Trina and her new husband, Kenny, also launched a Grateful Vineyard, a farm-to-table cidery, brewery, and tasting room that's become a hub of connection, hospitality, and faith. Through it all, Trina has trusted God for provision, stepped out in bold faith, and built a legacy rooted in family gratitude and purpose. Again, you can go and visit Trina. Many of our viewers and listeners have. And up next is Trina.
I want to invite you to partner with us to spread the gospel around the world. And we're doing this through our TV shows and our podcasts, our social media. We're helping Christians navigate culture with a biblical worldview of what God's doing right now in society, news, entertainment, the church, through the Sean Bowles Show, which is our weekly commentary show on podcasts. We're building courage with our ministry audience for their calling and their careers for exploring the marketplace, which is a CBN news show and a podcast. And we're helping thousands to grow spiritually in their connection to Christ and training them to hear God's voice. And we're activating them in their gifts and helping them to have coaching tools for their inner development through Spiritual Growth Academy online. On top of this, I get to minister around the world with Sound Biblical Truth on Prophetic Edge through YouTube all week long. And we have Sunday services even with YouTube. And we have weekly videos. And this doesn't even touch other social media that we do. I, of course, do a lot of ministry with TBN, and I host a lot of different media outside of what we're doing in our ministry. But we want to have you come help us. We want to invite you to help us expand our reach. And we are on testimony overload of the goodness of God, changing people's lives through the impact that we're having as a ministry. But we need you to help us create this media, this ministry. You can be a part of our team and our family. And we get to pray for you when you do this. We pray for our partners weekly. We get to resource you. We send you regular resources, both in the mail, but also online, because we want you to be equipped and reinforced. And we also have monthly partner meetings where you get to connect with me and our Bowles team online live, so you can feel the synergy of what God's doing and let it energize your life, as well as we get to pray for you live every month. And if you can't come live, you're still going to watch the video and get the prayer, because we take whatever God's doing in our ministry and we impart it to you so you can have the benefit. But become a partner today so our fruit becomes your fruit.
Welcome back. We're here with Trina. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Trina, you are a reoccurring guest on the show. You were on once before, several years ago, sharing about your farm and the vineyard and tasting room, the whole thing. It was so amazing to hear about it, but it's come a long way since then. So we're going to hear some of the God stories and just where your faith and your walk with God has caused something to happen that's really special. So kind of take us on the journey of what you do and what the farm looks like, and then we'll start to go into the deeper story.
You bet. Gosh, honored to be back, you guys. Thank you so much for taking interest in our small family farm. I guess this is my 11th year in the process of buying the farm from my parents, who bought from my grandparents, and I've made a lot of changes to the farm and upgrades to kind of make it more match the heart of what we wanted to do, which is grow food for our community, create a gathering space that's warm and welcoming, and then extend hospitality to people in a really restorative way.
I mean, it's so cool because both our wives they geek out when we talk about you. And like I told my wife right before the show, guess who I'm having on the show again? And I told her because she'd looked through your website and the whole thing. And then Lauren, of course, knows you personally. And so Lauren and Bob were like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Lauren's like, we have to get up there. And you've had people from the show from your first appearance who've gone from Exploring the Marketplace, who've gone and attended like a tasting room session. So talk about that.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to thank everybody from your show who has physically came onto the farm, introduced themselves, and were excited about this idea of partnering with God in business. And we had this amazing group from Pendleton, all these women who are sort of entrepreneurs, prophetic women. And I gave them a tour and they've been out many times and they always tell me when they're coming. And it's just a delight to host people who are doing what you're doing, because sometimes if you're in a small area, there really isn't anybody that you can connect with or vibe with, but it's nice when this podcast kind of can weave everybody together so you can meet people who are doing what you're doing. And so that's been totally a pleasure to have people come out.
Well, since you started and you were through COVID, you were open and you were, you know, trying to serve the community and give good food, and you came into some resistance. And so you battled through that, but tell us a little bit about like how that looked and how you guys battled through that.
Yeah. So, you know, every state handled COVID differently with business, but in Oregon, where I live, there was this push to do all to go. So, you know, like all of our businesses around us, none of us had ever done this before. We started doing specials where you could get like a pizza and a growler, or a pizza and a bottle of wine, or a pizza and a growler of our root beer, or we have a lot of non-alcoholic drinks as well that are fruit forward. And people would come out and they wouldn't want to leave because, you know, it was just so beautiful here. That's awesome. And it just felt good when you came onto the land. And so people really kind of saw our place as a refuge. And yeah, we ran into this issue where there was a nonprofit locally who was concerned about our success. And they were very concerned that we were serving possibly more food than we should. And I am a nurse practitioner as well as a farmer. So I always think that food should always accompany if you're going to have an alcoholic beverage, or so I don't think you should just be a tasting room that only serves alcohol. So we always had a food emphasis as well, because the vibe was always to nourish people. So anyway, they kind of wrote all these letters to the county saying that we must be out of line. What we're doing must be restricted in. And we went through the process with the county, and to compliment our county, it's like, we're not trying to shut you down. We just want to make sure your numbers are lining up with what your permit says. And I would walk the farm at night because the way we were doing it, we were supposed to have like 75% of our sales X and 25% of our sales Y. And God gave me a strategy on how to do the math, the adult math, and we were able to make the numbers for the county satisfy the permit, and the nonprofit eventually went away and we were able to carry on. But for a while, I definitely felt this like, oh, you're successful. We don't like that. We're going to try to stop you, or we got to figure out, excuse me, if they're doing something inappropriate. And I tried to just like not take it personally. I tried to be like, of course, we're, you know, you're not everyone's cup of tea. Not everybody's going to like what you're doing. Carry on. This is what God's put in your heart. And he'll give you the strategy to win with government. And government was very overreaching during that time. So instead of like feeling offended by it or letting it take me out, I just kept seeking the Lord for the solution, because at the end of the day, God is in charge of problem solving your problems. And if you, sorry, I might be getting emotional. When you walk around the farm and you invite him into it, his solution is going to be the best solution. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he's just so faithful to walk us through that, because there's been other, you know, companies who eventually got discouraged and stopped doing their business. Yeah. Where we moved through that kind of oppressive time into an even better place financially. And I was thinking God used that to push us towards, we learned how to make like raspberry sodas, and we learned how to do cream soda and root beer, and we got our own estate wine going. I mean, it pushed us towards making more and more of our own fruit drinks, where we might have gone at a slower pace if we didn't have that nonprofit, you know, questioning if we were serving enough of our own estate drinks. So God used the attack to make us even better.
Oh, it's so amazing. And I think of just what you guys have walked through as a farm, because farming is not easy in our country at all. And inheriting a multi-generational farm and having to kind of build certain systems from the ground up, I know has been hard. You shared that last time when you were on our show for anyone who wants to listen. But, you know, you came to a place of strength right after this. And then one of the things that you shared with us behind the scenes is that you had a loss of your general manager, and you could have handled it one of two ways, but I think it's such a powerful story for those who are business owners or entrepreneurs, because when you're building team, and especially your key roles, when you lose them, sometimes you lose the business, or sometimes you lose an aspect that you can't regain, or sometimes you get set back 3 to 5 years just because of those losses. So can you tell us about what happened?
Yeah. So around the time that I met my now husband, we had a general manager, name was Nikki, who stepped into the role and just was unflappable. Like, she just, like, you know, could just manage, you know, when we'd have hundreds of people coming to the farm, she would just like smooth out any frustrated people, because COVID kind of made people a little spicy when they would come into hospitality arenas. And, you know, the entitlement of our country got pretty big. And, but Nikki had a way of like moving people from an inflamed place to, they have, you know, she could move them into this place of receiving hospitality. And just anyway, without her, I don't think I could have met and dated Kenny and eventually get married to him. So first of all, God brought her when I was working like all the time in the tasting room. So it freed me up to be able to meet somebody. So I'm so grateful for that. And then, unfortunately, when she was driving home, like 3 years later, she hit a rough, like icy spot, and her car went off the road. And we were just all of a sudden told that she had passed away. Woman in her late 30s, mother of three. All of her kids are older, but still, it's never an easy time to lose your mother. And I don't know, we were pretty crushed, because, you know, most of the time your general manager just feels like, you know, your right-hand person, and just, you know, closer to family. They treat your business like it's theirs. And that's what Nikki did. And so instead of us letting that totally destroy, you know, and like, oh my gosh, like how can we ever recover from such a terrible loss, unexpected, I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, basically inviting me towards this idea: is God able to bring us somebody similar? Or what if I asked for somebody who would be even better, or somebody who would be an upgrade? No disrespect to Nikki, but just like this idea, when we have people in our businesses come and go, and transition happens a lot, especially in hospitality. You know, are you going to let that take you out? Are you going to let fear come in? Are you going to feel this scarcity mindset? Like, oh, there's not, or are you going to invite God to take over again, plan out your steps, and bring you somebody even better? And that has been my experience. Like, I feel like I have a sack full of testimonies of God bringing me somebody that actually was an even better fit somehow. I mean, I'm not sure how that's even possible, because we have some great teammates right now, but I don't ever like lose sleep or worry anymore if somebody tells me they need to go. I've been able to move into this place where I'm like, congratulations, you know, I hope your next step goes well. Or believe it or not, a lot of people who work for you are also entrepreneurs. So they have dreams of their own, and they want to move towards their dream. So it's just easier as an employer to bless them and thank them for serving on your place, and know that God's got you and he's going to bring you somebody better.
So good. As you work through the ups and downs of being an entrepreneur and having your own business, I know a lot of times Sean and I talk to people who have, you know, financing problems, and, you know, how do you do that? And you talked to us a little bit about that. So why don't you share that?
Well, I don't know if it's everybody's experience, but our experience has been as farmers, and the banks are a little leery to lend to you because there's just so much uncertainty, right? There's climate issues, there's global trade issues, there's, you know, labor issues, there's supply and demand issues. So I think when the bank looks at a farmer, they're just like, you know, they aren't super keen to lend to them. That's why I still work a few days a week as a nurse practitioner for serving veterans or at our local jail, because they're more apt to lend to a nurse practitioner. Anyway, Kenny and I moved into this little cottage that I had when I was like more single than Jesus. And I had hoped to meet somebody, but you never know. Like, honestly, I was like, I'm just going to keep running after my dreams. And if I look to the left and there's somebody that matches my vibe and is going in the same direction, then, you know, I'll marry him and we'll keep going. But it's not like when you're really in your dreams, you even have that much time to date, or it's not like the people who live next to you even feel like they can ask you out. I don't know. It's just kind of an odd place to be when you feel like you're running after God. But anyway, I never lost hope that it could happen because God's the God of the impossible, but I also didn't have a lot of opportunities to be asked out. So anyway, I eventually meet Kenny and we get married and we're living in this 400 square foot house, which is great when I was alone, but now that we're married, and he's a big man, he's 6'8".
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So I just saw him. I didn't recognize in the camera that he was that tall. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, and I'm not a small person either. So, and then anyway, long story short, we just kept believing God for a house and we put in the permitting. We got, you know, I think I said this last time, you get permission, right? You get the green light from the county and then you got to come up with the funding. And because, you know, we also built the tasting room, the wedding venues on the farm, you know, the brewery, the cidery, the winery, the soda shops on the farm, we've got all these things that we've grown and that are thriving now. The bank, when I was like, could we also get a loan for a home? They were just like, no way. So we applied, I think I said 21 times.
No.
We were rejected 20.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And it was sort of, I don't know. I just kept thinking, God, you know, somebody's going to put some faith in us. And anyway, long story short, I tried not to like stress about the timing of when we got it. I just like that, make friends with time. Don't let time determine if God's faithful or not. Yeah. Just like keep believing that there's a house for you. And I'm doing the podcast from the house, by the way, that sitting in the middle of God's provision. So anyway, I don't know. It definitely felt like it affected our hope a little bit, in the sense that you do feel a little bit like bruised when you keep getting up and then you get back knocked back down.
Well, 20 times. I mean, that's.
Yeah. I mean, it sort of feels like it's dead in the water. Right. And I was just like, Kenny kept having dreams at night about our house. I would have dreams. We love hospitality. Kenny's like this incredible barbecuer. We love having people over. We love, like, you know, this idea of having a little home group. Like, we're just like, have all these dreams for this house. And we're like, God is giving us all these dreams. And eventually I was like, God, if at some point somebody's just going to get tired of us. And thankful that it came together. It definitely felt kind of like nearly impossible. Like it just felt like it wasn't happening. And I don't know. And I know that God still would be faithful if we were still living in that 400 square feet house. So we run grateful for what we have no matter what, but it's so nice to have a guest room because Kenny's mom was just here and, you know, she could stay in the guest room. And like when nice. She would come before, I mean, we'd be on top of each other.
Oh, I can't have 400 square feet. Yeah, you would. With one more person. Well, tell us just about that financial process. So you went to 20 banks or 20 processes and banks, and then you finally on the 21st try, so someone said yes. Well,
so, you know, after our last rejection, we even went into the bank and they had a sign, like it acted like we were getting it, like everybody acted like we were, and then they'd say, actually, we want to see your 2020 taxes, or actually, they'd always give us one more thing, right. More paperwork. So Kenny and I decided to kind of brush ourselves off. We headed to the Oregon coast for a while just to kind of get off the farm and regroup. And anyway, a friend that lives out there asked me to coffee, and I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm kind of feeling a little battered, but I was like, I'm going to go to this coffee. And like, this is, you know, somebody I know and love. And I met her for coffee, and she goes, so how's the house coming? Cause everybody's thinking that it's being built, that we're doing it. And I go, well, actually, we've been really struggling to get somebody to finance us because it's just, nobody wants to like trust us as farmers. And she goes, actually, my husband and I are builders. You know, we're getting older. We don't want to build a home. We want to use this money to start investing. Would you be comfortable taking the loan from us? And oh, I was like, wow. So we obviously had to pray about it. I invited Kenny into the decision-making too. And she offered to do it at like the going rate, like 6%. I mean, I think that's lower than the going rate. Yeah. And it was a flat out miracle.
Because yes.
It was just 100% the dream of God, because we couldn't make it happen on our own to save our life. Like we were, I mean, we were trying so hard to make it happen, and it was always a no. And then when God showed up through this friend, it was like all of a sudden it was a green light again. And I was just like, awesome. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I'm still like so thankful that she put her faith in us, and we've made every payment. We've made it on time. We're actually in the process of refining, so we're, so, you know, they can have their investment money back, and they're in no hurry though. They're like, yeah, we're good. But like in my heart, I just, amazing. I would rather have it, you know. So anyway, profoundly grateful. Like that was out of my realm of possibilities that, that God would work outside of a bank to help you, you know, accomplish his dreams through your life.
That's so awesome, Jay. Thank you for being on the show today and giving us the update. I love what God's done, your marriage, the house, the expansion of business, everything. It's just so beautiful to see what God's done in just a few short years. And you guys have been faithful to just steward it and just go after it. So thanks for sharing the story.
Yeah. I got married at 45.
Yes. That'll give a lot of people hope right there. That'll preach.
Yeah.
I mean, grateful. Kenny's the best. Like, and you know, when I met him, he was like, you know, he's driving triples for FedEx. He knows how to drive fruit, right? He's forklift certified. He's like all these things that I need in a husband. And amazing. He's like, he's a little nervous because I'm a nurse practitioner. And he's like, I don't know if you want to date me. You know, I'm a truck driver. I'm like, no, you're exactly what I've been praying for. Like, you're exactly like everything you do complements what we need. And anyway, God did it. That's another one that I was like, because, you know, there's this little restaurant in Parkdale down the road, all these single guys there every night drinking beer, farmers, not my vibe at all. Like, you know, none of them like people who like are wooed by Jesus, and none of them who are like, you know, let's dream with God on a farm. You know, they would think I was nuts if I said that. And then I meet this, you know, he's a PK. His parents used to, be pastors down in Ventura in Oxnard, California. And, you know, and he's like in his 40s too, loved and lost, and was just like looking for something to connect with that. And so it was like, both of us were just like, we hit the jackpot. Like, and, so awesome. You know, he wasn't available earlier. Like I couldn't have met him and married him earlier because he was on a different journey. So it's like, when it was supposed to align, it aligned, and it really wasn't about time or age. It was just like God bringing it together when it's supposed to be. And yeah, feel really thankful. I don't know how God brought me a farmer, but he brought me a farmer.
My wife would wish the same thing, but it didn't happen.
You think there's this trend though that people are buying farms, like even celebrities, and like there's new thing that I think that people really are drawn to the land and wanting to grow their own food, and like, so I'm just, I don't know, I think God is doing something.
The Pigness of Pigs guide, Joel Salatin. Have you ever heard of Joel Salatin?
Yes,
So Joel said, of course, everything started in a garden and it's actually going to end in a garden as well. And God's going to give Christians all over the world. He's not like a prophetic-y type guy, but he prophesied and said, God's going to give Christians all over the world the mandate to steward the earth and grow food. And we're seeing the same thing. I mean, we run into people all the time who are creating farms or creating a specific type of food or whatever. And it's just, it blows me away that many of the divine appointments that I have with people, they'll end up starting to talk about food. And I'm like, wait, let me call my wife into this because she's the one you need to talk to. She's going to geek out all this because this is her passion. So I agree with you. I think it's so important.
Well, and I think like me, it's not 100% of their job. Like I still like work for the VA 3 days a week. So and that's our benefits and retirement. But it's like, so this idea that people are feeling drawn to like have more of a handprint on how their food is raised and eating food that they know the farmer that raised it. It's just like a really cool time, you know, in our world. And I know there's other stuff going on. There's some unsettled places in our world, but where I live, everything is coming alive. It's abundant. Like there's so much fruit on the tree. I feel like the faithfulness of God is everywhere you look. Like there's no place where you can't stand on this farm and think that there isn't a creator who loves us and wants to feed us. And like this idea of the banqueting table, and he's just inviting us to it. I mean, it's everywhere around the farm.
Tell us how people can find your place.
Yeah.
On social media or on websites, all of it. So or that visiting. They can see how beautiful the place that you're talking about is.
So I just personally want to welcome anybody internationally and domestically to come to our farm. It would be our delight to fill your cup. We're called the Grateful Vineyard. Our farm is called Mount View Orchards, but it's the same place. We grow fruit. We grow veggies. We also make refreshments, do farm-to-table pizzas. And Instagram, it's the Grateful Vineyards. Websites, Grateful Vineyards. So I'd love to have anybody come out. And if you do make it, ask if the owners are around. It would be our pleasure to come shake your hand.
Thank you for being a part of Exploring the Marketplace, where faith and business collide to shape culture. Stay ahead with free resources, online courses, and exclusive content at bowlsministries.com. And even dive deeper with our online training, spiritual growth mentoring community, or grab a copy of Wired to Hear, the book that Bob and I co-authored to help you hear God in your career.
We're building a global conversation. You can be part of it. Partner with us or donate today, or recommend new guests for our show to fuel the impact. Let's stay connected. Follow us on social media at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan.
And did you love the episode? Share it with your network and leave a review. It helps us so much to reach more people who are ready to bring the kingdom into the marketplace.
See you next time.